Good afternoon, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Higher Dimension. I am your hostess, Phyllis Pricer, and I do not have any special guests with me, so I'll be giving readings and so forth myself. I think I'm going to have to go to another mode of listening to you rather than earphone. So just hold on while I do this. And I am so sorry for this disruption. Apparently I got lost when I switched from the earphone to the phone itself, because there seems to be a beeping in the background and I want to be able to hear what everyone has to say. Well, it's a wonderful day in the neighborhood. It's wonderful here in Washington. We don't have a special guest this week, as I mentioned earlier, so I would love to do some readings or interpretation of dreams. Whatever you'd like to do today, or I can just chat and keep up a running commentary. As my mother said, I could talk until the cows come home. Hopefully it will be interesting. But if anybody wants a reading or interpretation of dreams, please feel free to call in at 1-888-815-9756, and I hope you will get the phones lit up. We are going to have a guest next week. We're going to have a young lady who's written a book about, let me call it, lip prints, which is an interesting little booklet. Her name is Nancy Ellis. And the week after that, we're going to have Maureen McGovern back. And then hopefully we're going to have the other young lady, Maureen, who is also a psychic and a reader, come back in early January. So we're setting all of that up. And hopefully we will be able to continue through the holiday season with a guest. But we'll see what happens, because people get awfully busy during the holidays. And so basically today I have noticed for myself, and I've noticed from some other people, that these energies that have come in through the past few weeks have certainly seemed to brought forth some really, really interesting dreams. And I'm so sorry for my voice being going out a little bit. I was singing in church this morning, and sometimes the strain of singing causes my voice to get kind of funny. But other than that, I'm here. Many people for the last few weeks have had some very powerful dreams. I'm one of them. I've had some of my friends give me readings on some of the dream meanings. I've pretty much found them too, but amazingly, while you are the best interpreter of your own dreams, having other people also provide information can give you a new slant. And I like that version, because we tend to be focused in thinking as we have in the past and not see new patterns emerging in our lives and in dreams. So that's one of the reasons why I like to explore with my friends, some of who just have not done dream interpretation before, but I have a great deal of, what shall we say, trust in who they are as a person. And in all of them that I speak with are all gifted. Everyone is gifted with psychic abilities and so forth. And a lot of what we do in life, we don't realize it, but we are moving on intuition and hunch, and so I encourage that as much as humanly possible for me and my friends to reach inside themselves. And I give interpretations with a hopeful little push that they can then make sure that it feels right to them and then go from there into their own interpretations. I think that's the best way of doing it. So I've had some very powerful dreams. Some show some new changes in coming. I can do some generic suggestions in dreams that are coming. Dreams where we appear naked in common dreams means that it's one of two things. Either we are feeling unprepared, but that's usually involved with tests, not being prepared for class, or it can also mean that, according to Mary Summerrain, that one is without guile. That is to say, you are up front You are what you seem to be, and there's no hidden agendas, and that you are just open and honest about what you're doing in life. And I think that's a great interpretation, especially if, when you are in the dream, you do not feel any embarrassment, dis-ease, or discomfort in the dream. And that's especially important, I would like to point out at this time. If you are that way, you are not, you are being honest and straightforward. Having shoes means that you are walking carefully. Having inappropriate shoes where you're going to go, for example, if you're going to wear high heels or slightly slippers or something and you're going out in the mud, that means that you are not preparing properly for whatever is coming up, that you don't have a proper foundation. And so one would say one needs to look more at footwear. If, however, you're properly shod for going out in the rain or in muddy conditions, then you are properly shod. That means you have good foundations. Some of the other dream interpretations in many people have is falling. This is very, very simple. That is simply a dream to let you say you are having a situation which is causing you a great deal of distress and comfort that you're not prepared for, again, in a sense. And another portion of that, depending, again, on the other dream scenarios, a dream of falling can also mean that you are, and you have a distinct sensation, that you are coming back into the body far too fast for having been in an out-of-body experience. So, again, a sensation of falling, depending on how it feels to you, can be an accurate symbol of a dream that you are feeling you're falling for something, you're falling into a situation, or you are falling back into your body too fast and you jerk awake. That usually means that you have indeed been in an out-of-body experience, so you need not be too concerned about that. Just simply be more aware of yourself and what's going on in your life at the time. Dreams where you are indeed out of the body, where you feel you see yourself leaving the body, are accurate out-of-body sequences, so you might want to be aware of that too, my friends. Again, it's a situation that you want to take care of. See, scenes that seem extremely real to you very often, again, are a part of being out of body. If you are dreaming scenes where people are wearing clothing, jewelry, having accents or speaking languages that you're not familiar with, if the clothing is from another period of time, yet it seems somewhat familiar, we would say that this is a strong possibility you are dreaming about another lifetime, something which has a lesson to show you or just to bring your attention to the lifetime and answer some questions. It could be that you met somebody special then and you're getting ready to meet somebody from that lifetime, especially if in the dream you are meeting someone special. It could be just a general call to remember that lifetime and the qualities that you developed in that lifetime, or areas where you need to strengthen what you are doing in this lifetime. Dreams are really, as Elsie Seacrest said, our magic mirror. They tell us so much about ourselves in our daily life and our past lives, and they also still, in this day and age, come as inspiration, as gifts from the Spirit, from God, if you will, to talk to us about what we are doing in our life. Applause in the dream means we are doing a good job, we are being congratulated. An admonishing finger means that we're not doing what we're supposed to. These are things that we can take from our really daily lives, but they're very, very symbolic. When you wake up from a dream and you feel really, really good, you know that you have had a very positive situation you have had applause or you've had a meeting with someone. These are things to wake up. If you wake up feeling bad, go over the dream. Sometimes it can be a warning that things are not as they seem and to be careful. If you're in business, really, really listen to this in making decisions, because nothing, again, in your life, as I said before, important happens but that you dream about it first. This is your first line of defense for living here on this earth plane. This is how to make your life easier, and you should really respect and utilize that gift to the greatest extent possible, because it's your gift and it's there for you to use. Again, look at the symbols of the dreams around you. If they are bright colors, if they're beautiful colors, they're vibrant, this is a very positive interpretation of the dream. That means that things are good and vibrant around you. If they're dull and muffled, that means things are not doing so well. Colors that are murky can show an illness, or a possible illness, or a possible move in a direction which is not in your best interest. If you can, set down your dreams each and every day, because we dream 6 or 7 dreams a night at least, and a lot of information is lost. The subconscious comes to tell you, because that's when it's waking you up to what's really going on in your life, and it is important to value that piece of you. It's something that we really haven't been taught, and I think it's a thundering shame that we haven't been taught this particular usage. And I know that many scientists are looking now at the brain, and they can stimulate the brain, and they can part of the brain that seems to provide psychic experiences. There can stimulate parts of the brain that seem to lead to hallucinations. And they're trying to map the brain in this way and finding it as proceeding, going along lines that the brain is a biological function. One of the things, and it is in a sense, but it is the greatest organic instrument ever created. And that's exactly what it is. It is an organic machine or instrument. But that does not take away from the magnificence of the brain that has been created and given to us. It's all too often not truly appreciated. So the scientists are approaching the brain as a inorganic mass that can be excited, or use of excitation to create dreams and recognition. I would say, and they're making it as an organic tool only. I would have to say I think they're putting the cart before the horse again in the scientific community, because, in my opinion, it is the soul's entry into the human body which has been fashioned in such a magnificent way, the body, that it can take the soul, and the soul can then use that body to reach from earth to heaven or to the other realms. It is not something that was meant solely for this plane. The body, in a sense, yes, is, but in absolute fact, in my opinion, again, the soul itself has to inhabit the body to give it meaning, and you can excite the brain all you want, but it is that soul inhabiting that brain that will give that meaningful dream or vision or whatever, because if you excite another human being's brain, they will not get the same response. And I think that science is trying to prove that it can all be one. They all keep looking for the common denominator, and I still say it's the soul which inhabits the body, which provides the electrical juice to create dreams and to have inspiration, etc. And it is the servant of the soul rather than just a piece of animation that can be set up like a robot. So I had a vision, sort of, when I went into a channeling session this past week, in which I went into the brain and I saw for the first time how absolutely magnificent the organic process of the brain is in its simplicity and complexity. And if we each of us would realize or recognize the power, the magnificence, the capability of each brain, which is a gift to each and every human being, I don't think it would be possible for us to abuse or misuse or maltreat or use any negative in any way, shape, or form against another human being. It simply wouldn't be possible, because you would understand the power, the beauty, the grandeur that exists in each and every human being. And I can't say it anymore. I have words that fail me at this point, because it's so breathtaking in each part of the brain. And again, I was taken into a model of the brain in my meditation so that I could see the functioning parts and how they all work together. It was a piece of art. It was beyond description. And so while I've always respected the human body, I've always respected the brain, I've always honored it for the intelligence, I realize also it's not necessarily the seat of the soul. It's utilized by the soul, which is inhabiting the whole body, and that parts of our memory, parts of our body, has memory throughout every cell. Every cell has DNA. When we enter into the body, we bring DNA memories with us, and we program them into our being. And there you have it. And so the soul then takes the memory. It doesn't keep it in one spot, because that would sort of be, well, just look at what we do when we do this. We do not keep information in one spot, do we? In computers or something else. We always have information stored in several different areas, just to make sure. And I think this is one of the reasons why we mimic the brain, because we have a number of sources where we keep our information unprotected, so that if any damage happens, that the complete organism isn't bereft of total memories, etc. Now, I do know we're not talking about injuries or organic issues here. We're talking just as a generic, it is in general, okay? We're not talking about exceptions. We're talking about in general. This is why the brain was created and the body was created, to make a habitation on the earth plane for this human body of ours, which is such a truly unique and glorious gift for all concerned. So that was my lecture for today. Again, if you have any dreams that you would like to have interpreted, or you would like a reading, give me a call. I hope y'all, somebody's out there. I'd like to hear y'all breathing. But I don't hear anybody calling in yet. So feel free to call in. Another part of remembering your dreams is to get adequate information about how your human body is doing, whether there are any areas of sicknesses or weaknesses that have to be addressed. And this comes about before the physical symptoms exhibit in the human body. And this is something that I think that we, again, don't make enough use of, which is to honor our bodies and our souls and obtain the information that is on tap for us at any given time. I remember years and years ago, I was, it has to be 25, 30 years ago now, I had a very vivid dream that I was lying in a hospital. And I saw a giant hand come down with a gloved hand, like a doctor's hand, and it just, I opened my mouth and it it had a syringe in it, and the syringe squirted what looked like a white fluid or milk is what I thought when I woke up, milk into my mouth, to heal my stomach because there was something wrong with my stomach. And this is before I had any symptoms of an ulcer of any shape or form. And I immediately took action to avoid becoming ill because I'd had a stomach, trouble with my stomach when I was much younger, and when I was 19, and had an ulcer then. So I did take this step to avoid getting an ulcer, and I immediately stopped stressing out so much, etc. And it never evolved into a full-blown case of an ulcer, and for which I was totally grateful at the time. So if you can dream about physical beings and find out, work with the interpretation of your dream, you can avoid physical illnesses as well. You can see what's coming. Again, I'm going to repeat, nothing really important happens in your life, according to Edgar Cayce, but that we dream about it first. So whether it's a pet coming into your life, I have a dear friend who said she dreamed about her little toy poodle coming into her life about a year or two before it was even born. She said she saw this little dog in a dream, little black poodle. And she knew that was going to be her dog in the future, that it hadn't been born yet, and she would know when it would come. And by golly, about the time she felt it was right, she looked up and found a baby, a toy poodle, which would be a right age, and it looked just like the ones in her dream. And so she was absolutely excited, and what a wonderful thing to dream about a beloved pet before you even have the pet. I had three Boston Terriers. They were the grandmother, the mother, and the granddaughter. And I dreamed about them one night, all three of them. And in that dream, I woke up crying because I knew, and this is before any of them had gotten ill, I knew that within 9 months, I would lose all three of my beloved pets. And frankly, that's exactly what happened. 2 months later, the grandmother became ill with congestive heart failure, and I finally had to put her down. The daughter became ill. I don't know if she drank poison or her kidney suddenly failed, and she died within a week or so. And the last one, the little granddaughter, had suddenly developed a tumor on the pituitary gland, and she died in surgery. So, again, within 9 months, I lost all three beloved pets, and I was heartbroken. But I knew about it, and I was sort of prepared for that. So again, knowing things are going to happen, if you have dreams, I dreamed about having a divorce the first time, that my marriage would not last, and that made me very sad. But I'll be honest with you, since I divorced so many years ago, I'm so grateful to know that the dream, it wouldn't last. I was just very sad that it wouldn't last. And at least I was prepared in knowing that things would not work out, and so I wouldn't have to be devastated by the situation, that it was important that whatever reason the marriage would end, and life would go on, and everything would be okay. And I know there's something out, a movie out now, something about that, people dreaming or being able to be psychic and foretell whether somebody's marriage would work out or something. And it's true. It happens. You can tell. You just know. And sometimes we are surprised that we can tell this, and sometimes when we think something isn't going to work, it does work. And I think it's also means that sometimes it's a wish that we don't want something to work, and in other times it could be that circumstances change because situations can change. Again, dreams aren't necessarily absolutely carved in stone. It's the way the general trend is going. So if you look at what's happening in a dream, remember also, for the most part, you have the opportunity or the ability to change if what you see. You can ask for prayer, sometimes not, but sometimes it's just a matter of warning you what's going to come, and you can take it and utilize the information, adjust yourself, whatever you choose. Again, everything is up to us, as we've said before here. Nothing is really carved in stone, and you have free will, and you can change your life if you so choose. And most of us are extremely powerful beings, and we don't really recognize that fact. We don't really honor that power that exists within each of us. And it's important to know that you do have this power. I don't mind giving people a heads up about what's coming. That's fine and dandy. I do have a problem if you ask me every time I turn around to do something for you, to give you the information when you can access it yourself. Once we get started, and you know, I've given some lessons over the phone here for you to be able to tell for yourself and try out for yourself. It's okay to ask for corroboration, but it's not okay to become dependent on somebody else to give you all your information. I encourage people very strongly to use their own information for themselves. It's my way of having you honor yourself and the God within, because we are all equally able to do whatever it is we need to do, and we all can utilize this information. Sometimes it's easier to access it. Sometimes it's because we have a need to grow spiritually, and that's sometimes why we can't get some information, by the way. It's because we haven't grown enough inside ourselves in order to access the information more easily. Some it's spiritual immaturity, some it's basic fear, some it's laziness, some it's the desire not to be responsible, and it's sort of easier, as the saying goes, to pop a pill than actually go out and do something to make your life easier or to get a better health. But for whatever reason, when you are ready, your soul's journey will let you know, and you will be prompted and have these experiences and whatever you have need of them. And some people say they don't want to know about bad things happening. Well, you know, nothing is really bad in that sense, even if you call it that. The quality of life is what's so important, and are you willing to live your life in that quality of service that exists today? I've known things that are going to happen that are not good. Not too long ago, somebody asked me for a reading. I knew this woman was heading for some real ill health. In fact, my feeling was a stroke, and she did get sick, and I tried to tell her that if she didn't change her diet and her ways, that she would regret it, because her body couldn't tolerate the weight that she had on. And I couched it in more gentle terms, because quite frankly, it's not my job to scare. I could have told her quite blankly that she was really due to have a seizure or a stroke soon, but you see, she wouldn't have changed. She would not have changed. She did have a seizure, and to be honest with you, she's now had another seizure. No, I'm sorry, she's out of the hospital now. I guess I'm saying she may well be on her way to another seizure, because she hasn't stopped changing. She hasn't changed her eating habits, and she's gone right back to the old habits. So the situation which put her at risk is back up again. And, you know, this is someone's choice. Even though she herself has now had that warning of her own body giving out on her, she still is not making the move to change the diet and to change her habits. And she's sliding back into the same old routine. And again, there's nothing I can do about it. I could warn her, but that's all it would be. She just wanted to know when. And when is not up to me to say. It's up to her to know, because she can stop it anytime she wants. So I'm trying to say that a lot of people do have a need to punish themselves, or they may choose this way to go. Again, we can give warning to people, but if they choose to leave the soul and to leave the body at any given time, they will ignore any kind of information that you give them and continue on with their life. People who know better, continuing to drink or eat or smoke or whatever it is that they do over and over again, and even though they know it's not in their best interest physically. And they will continue to do so despite your warnings. And they know what they're doing underneath. They do know what they're doing, but this is their way of choosing to leave this life plane. So if you do let them know that things are not in the best interest for good health, they're aware of it, and they say yes, and you can just honor it and say, you know, I'm here to be your friend. And sometimes, frankly, that's all you can be to someone, is their friend. There's nothing else you can do, because it's not going to take. Again, dream interpretations are very, very, very unique to each and every human being. And I would say that you can discipline yourself to write down dreams. They can talk about putting a notepad beside your bed. I know people have woken up in the morning and they were so excited they wrote something down, and when they read it, all they have is this gibberish, I think, written down, and they have no clue what they wrote. But after a while, I feel if you put down just a few key words or a phrase or something that was extremely authentic, I find that makes it easier for me to remember. I pretty much remember whole dreams if I discipline myself to set them down each and every night. After a month or so, I find myself remembering 6 and 7 and 8 dreams, and sometimes I remember between dreams. And this can drive you crazy unless you happen to have a passion for writing, which I enjoy writing, but I don't have exactly the passion to continue writing all of that time. It gets to be a bit much, and I get writer's cramp. But other than that, it's an interesting concept to go over. I have many years of dreams that I have written down. And what I have found that's so interesting is that during these years that I have been writing down my dreams, I have noticed them changing. The content has changed. The colors have become more vibrant, I believe. Also, I find that I am doing some what they call lucid dreaming, which is you're in a dream and you're aware you're dreaming, and you can participate in the dream and you can manipulate what's going on in the dream. There's a nice story about some Native Americans, I believe, in the Pacific, who have the ability, it's just very normal for them to dream in a lucid way, and all the people do it and have no problems with the lucid dreaming, and they can manipulate their dreams, and for them it's just pretty much standard. Many Westerners would love to have lucid dreams, but the few times that they do, they tend to forget to manipulate them. They're just aware of being an observer in the dream and forget to manipulate. And, what can I say? It's fascinating when you can do that. I would say, by all means, if you can manipulate your dreams or work on lucid dreaming, do so. It's a quality of soul growth that you can do this, because it means that you're willing to take charge and to do something about what you're dreaming about. And it's fascinating. I think it's absolutely fascinating to do that. I don't do it that much. I would love to do it more. But as I said, it's something that a new skill I think I am developing. I've had some lucid dreaming before in the past, but not a whole heck of a lot. It's a growth. It shows a growth sequence for me, and that's very encouraging to me that I am proceeding on the lines of spiritual growth, that I can do something such as lucid dreaming. I do remember dreams in out-of-body experiences. Sometimes they're very interesting. I had one recently where in the dream, there was a wedding, and my house was being prepared for a wedding, and I didn't know who the wedding was for, and the people in the dream looked at me and as though I were a complete idiot when I said, well, who's getting married in my house? And they just kind of looked at me, and it was sort of a duh. Who do you think would get married in your house? And, but dreams of marriages seldom mean that you are physically going to get married. Not that they can't, but there are other symbols that come along in dreams if you are actually going to get married, which show more of a male-female relationship. But in this dream, I believed that it referred to the signing of a contract, which, by the way, I did the next day. And it was a celebration, the occasion of celebration, which means it was a good contract and that it was very important to have this contract signed. And so that I pretty much felt was the purpose of that dream for a wedding. And let's see, again, I'm going to ask you if you are interested in having a dream interpretation, you have a question, please give me a call at 1-888-815-9756. We are hoping that some people will call in today. If not, it's okay. I don't mind. I just get a little tired of talking as well. And I hate to admit it, but sometimes I do get tired of talking. Not that I can't continue, but I can continue if you like. The other things that you want to look for in some dreams are the, again, I've mentioned the emotional responses after a dream is completed. It's very important to notice what those emotional responses are, because that will, more than anything else, trigger what the whole theme of the dream is. Very often it's a recapping of what you've done the day before. It could be referring to the coming day. It could be referring to your job situation. Remember also that in your dreams, you are represented by every person in that dream. If you are having an issue with somebody, or they have a personality or a quality that you do not like, and that person is in the dream, and it's there, you're having an issue with them, it could very well be saying that that is your issue, and you need to look at it, because people are your mirror image, and you play all the parts in your dreams. Seldom are they just straightforward, something could happen. Even so, you're going to have dramatic dreams of one sort or another. So just be prepared when you dream to accept that whether you like that person in the dream or not, it's probably you playing that part. And that, you know, I could make a reference to Shakespeare, but I don't think I will at this point. The other issue is that we are supposed to do something with our dreams. If we do not think about them, if we do not honor them, if we do not consider them, and do some sort of action with regard to them, whether it's just being aware of them, acknowledging them, thanking the subconscious, and you really should, for bringing this, whatever the dream is, to your attention. If you do not do anything with that dream, if you fail to follow through on it or ignore it, understand the dreams are not going to be as vivid and as important in your life as they would be otherwise. It's like any other kind of information. What you take and you honor, you will receive more of. If you receive information but you do nothing about it, then eventually the information is not going to continue to come the way it was. Again, it's like a muscle. You have to use it. You have to keep it alive and honor it with some kind of meaningful response. Or it's just a waste of time, according to your subconscious. So if you do not remember dreams, it's because you haven't made the effort to do something about them when you've had them. I mean, how often have you had a dream that you felt was important, but you did nothing about it? You did not think about it. You did not honor it. You did not wonder about it. You didn't discuss it with somebody. It just was. So, again, I'm going to say that, you know, you've got to use what you're given, or it's going to go away. Why would you be keep being warned if you're not going to live with it? Dreams that reoccur, understand, are extremely important. That means you are not getting it. Do not ignore repetitive dreams. Look at them. Look at a good interpretation book. I can recommend to you Mary Summerrain, her dictionary, or Elsie Sechrist, Dreams Your Magic Mirror, interpretations and words ideas that are given there from Edgar Cayce and the dreams, because he did a lot of dream interpretation. All of these things you should indeed look into and look up. It's very important to keep in mind that what you are doing in your life is living your life, and your soul and your brain and your unconscious, they're all trying to reach you. And you can do this mainly in dreams. We need our rest because our body needs that quality of being at rest. But remember, most of your life is a good 8 hours of your day or more is spent sleeping, and that dream time, they have found, of course, that without being able to dream, you could lose your mind. And part of that reason is it is so important for your soul's development to be receiving information. You are body, mind, and spirit, and it's time to acknowledge that and honor it by living with your dreams and loving them and interpreting them and honoring them by talking about them to yourself, if to nobody else. And if you want to stand in front of a mirror and chat, I feel free to do so. But other than that, I would think that you would want to know what's going to happen in your life. I know when I have dreams that seem precognitive, I take them out, I examine them, I write them down, I look up interpretive meanings, etc. In case of a wedding, if somebody's interested in marriage, Edgar Cayce said it's usually represented by a horse and carriage. Just as a black ribbon or a black wreath or a knife can represent death or an illness coming, which can lead to death, these are signs of a change in a person's health or in the status of their lives. So, you know, not always is it the same thing, and it won't be the same thing for everyone, even though there are archetypes. And if you want to read more about that, I can refer you to Carl Jung and Manus and His Symbols. Those are very good books to read. And he is an absolutely wonderful dream interpretator. And I have found his work very, very powerful. Trying to think of some else that were good books that you could read. Well, it's just about anything, quite frankly, that lends itself to looking deep within is a good source for you to explore your own subconscious. Again, it's a matter of wanting to know what is in your life and to make up in your life the determination that you would like to know how you're going to be. It can also inspire you or lead you to know whether or not you're looking in the right place for a job. You can, those of you who need jobs can consciously write down, if you want to, put on your pillow, whatever works for you in trying to find a position or to find out what's going to happen. Think about it right before you go to sleep. And even if you have to do it for several days, now sometimes it'll happen right away, sometimes it won't. But eventually you will find out, you will get the information that you need from your subconscious if you are persistent in demanding an answer to the questions that you have through your conscious mind into your subconscious, and you will get the answer. Sometimes it just takes a while for it to percolate through, or it takes your soul's, is he or she really interested in learning this information, or are you not going to do anything with it? So you can use it for anything. I personally would find it a great deal healthier to find out information for my own self by submitting it to my subconscious and to check out what's going to happen. And you realize this is a pot calling the kettle black here. I tend to forget that until I start talking to you all, my listeners, on what to do. I have that issue as well. I'm a human being, and I tend to forget, even though I have all this knowledge. That doesn't mean I necessarily apply it in my life, folks. I should. Shame on me. But I don't necessarily do that. And so sometimes when I talk to you, I am in reality talking to myself. And if I find things are happening that are positive and wonderful, I pass them on to you. These things that I do, I try first or have tried for years before I recommend them to another. It's just the way I am. I would hate to have to send somebody information that was not absolutely top drawer and that wouldn't be of positive influence on another human being. But I can share what I've been through. That's not an issue. I don't mind that. I would love to be able to share even more with you all. And some of these days, I know I had said I was doing an experiment in keeping positive thoughts, and I'm working on that still. Notice I said work when I shouldn't. I'm still playing at it, or playing with it, perhaps is a better word, to see if what I'm seeking comes through. It's very important for me to test what I do. I do work a lot with my dreams, however, a great deal. And I have found it to be exceedingly helpful, exceedingly important in my life. And I would hope that you would also benefit from that. It took me a long, long time and many years for me to be able to just start looking at dreams and start fluffing off the top of my head about some of their interpretations. I had to sit down and plow through symbol by symbol because I wasn't getting it. It was sort of like having to learn a new language for me, although now I can sit down and I can almost get the meaning without having to look up symbols. So sometimes I do. Most of the time now I will try to look up symbols and see how accurate it is. I'm surprised how often I am accurate in the gist of the information that was being offered by the dream. But there are times when I still have to really look up something because I think it's a one tenor and when it might be something else. But again, each person is different. If you're a horseback rider, if you're with horses a lot and you ride horses a lot, you know, that dream of horses will mean something else to you other than to somebody who does not ride horses or is not involved in horseback riding. So it's a matter of what is symbolic in your life. Many times horses mean emotions out of control, that type of thing, our emotional situation coming up. Now, for somebody who works with horses, it could simply be that they're dreaming about a situation at work. So, again, you've got to put your own spin on information that you receive. I've found that in signing contracts and looking for people, using the dream interpretation has been very good as to whether or not to trust someone. And I'm still seeking great information along those lines in my everyday life and in business life. And I can tell you it works very, very well. I've avoided some really strong pitfalls by being careful about listening to my dreams and interpreting them and honoring what I've learned through my dreams. So please consider that as my gift to you, at least maybe for Thanksgiving, so that you can be thankful that you have something that you can now latch on to that will help you in your life in making decisions and moving into different situations. And I would love it to be just that for you, something that is such a gift that you can use it and make your life better and make it easier. If it's a positive dream signal, even if you don't think something is positive, you'd be amazed at the fact that it is very positive, something that would surprise you. And what you consider negative may not be negative. I've been surprised time and time again by that very situation, thinking something is not positive when in fact it indeed is a very strong positive symbol and a strong interpretation. You are being encouraged to live and love and laugh and enjoy this life as much as humanly possible. And that is what I think you would like to keep in mind as you go about living life and getting information. It is important to know that this is a part of your life and a part of your soul, attempting to make your life a better place to live and to have a greater joy in doing life, to bring peace to you, to bring understanding to you, to give you the momentum to continue to want to live, and to do so with great fullness and great love and great understanding. We are coming down to only about a couple of minutes left, I believe, and I apologize if we will cut you off and you would want to call in earlier when I went off the air briefly, but, you know, such is life. It happens that way. I would hope that you would come next week and listen to our guest, and I hope you have enjoyed this session and that it has provided you with some information that you can utilize in your daily life. That's greatly to be hoped. That is what I am looking for and would want for you all. It's for me here to share with you and to encourage you to reach into your own beingness. And that doesn't mean that you can't ask for help or that you can't call and talk to me or what have you. I'm discouraging you. It's not the point. The point is I would empower everybody to be able to reach into themselves for the information that is appropriate to their needs on a daily basis. It's just the way it is. There are so many people who have issues today's world or in general, and it's so hard when you seek your best self and you have no one else that you can count on, and one is afraid of making mistakes or even paralyzed through depression or for whatever reason, fear, apathy, depression, illness. You can get through it all. You can make it. You can learn. You can reach out into your higher self. Reach your higher self, who is always, always there to give you information. And it is only our illusion that our higher self is not there for us, and that we are not connected to the source, when in truth we are always connected to the source. And I would like you all to know that, you know, it's a joy talking to you each and every one, every week, and I am looking forward to serving you again in the future, and would love to have you listen to us next week when we have Nancy Ellis on. And you'll find her a very entertaining person, I am sure. And we'll see what we can do. We have come to the end of our hour. And as always, I am somewhat surprised that it has gone by so fast. I want to thank you all for listening. I wish you all a wonderful Thanksgiving, wherever you are, that it is a blessed one, and that you are surrounded by friends and families and that it is the best day in the world for you. I thank you again. I'm Phyllis Pricer. You can reach me at area code 202-387-2080. Email is psychicworlds4, and that's capital P-S-Y-C-H-I-C-S, world, capital W-O-R-L-D, 4, at AOL.com. Or you can reach me through BBS Radio. Thank you all for listening to me. And if you have comments, please feel free to contact me. God bless you and take care. Goodbye.
Hi, everybody out there.